All right, let's get started. Let's fade the music out. This is the Sports Debaters on IFM Sports. That's Sports-Debaters. I'm Michael Zucker, along with Bobby York and Mr. Two First Names, Matt Eric. All of our weekly shows, which are Tuesdays at this time, 8 Eastern, are available on sports-debaters.com. I was told that I must say that. Thank you for tuning in. We are going to go off today on our reactions from the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. And we're also going to do part one of our 2015 Major League Baseball season preview, where we are going to pick our division winners, each of us, and debate about that in the second part of the hour. So we always encourage listener participation. The number to join the discussion is 646-200-3230. And obviously I was glued to the TV. The Thursday through Sunday of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament is always, every year, has been one of my favorite events in sports. But I definitely took away a couple of things from this past weekend. The overall quality of play has just been declining in the college game. I mean, it's obvious because, you're gone after a year. We all know that. But it's becoming more and more apparent. And I can't defend the college game being a better watch than the NBA game anymore. I used to believe that. You know, I used to like the game better for its the fact that it was more of a team game and it was closer into the court. Fundamentally, it was less one-on-one. But, I've sort of just found myself tuning in more on the urgency of following my own bracket. So I wonder if you guys are the same, and what actually interests you more about it now at this point.
I've been saying forever now that the NBA is much more exciting than NCAA, but March Madness brings out the gambler in me. And while a lot of the predictable teams are still in it, there has been some of the classic NCAA upset that we all love. I think the dropping of Villanova in the second round was probably the most exciting part of this tournament so far. 2-14 seeds in the first round winning. It's been a while since that happened. I would say it's been pretty exciting so far, although I still lean towards the NBA for entertainment value. March Madness has not hurt us this year.
I have to totally disagree with what you're saying about the NBA. As I said last week, I love March Madness. I think there's just something about, these kids are not getting paid to play, which kind of adds to the excitement, adds to, the passion. I feel like the fans are more passionate at these college games. And I just think one and done is the best sporting event of the year is the Super Bowl or the NFL playoffs. And, even the whole NFL season, every game means so much. And, that's the number one sport. I love this college game. And although I agree that the skill level in the NBA is a lot higher, most of the guys who are playing in the tournament are not professional basketball players or going to be professional basketball players. It's just the passion, the importance, and, the moments. There's so many moments at every one of these tournaments. I've kind of have to disagree.
I'm not arguing the point that March Madness isn't amazing. Like, I love March Madness. I think it's one of the best sports tournaments, if not my favorite sports tournament in the world outside of the World Cup. And
the World Series of
poker. I just had to ask you one thing, though. How many Wichita State games did you watch before March Madness? I mean, the fact that March Madness is exciting does not make the NCAA basketball more exciting than NBA basketball.
Yeah, but I'm not going to lie to you. I don't watch many Memphis Grizzly games either, and I'm going to watch them in the playoffs.
You guys speak for yourselves. I take several trips out to Wichita every single year to catch those games. Or maybe that's just me. I'm not arguing. Yes, the urgency of the college game, the NCAA tournament, is what makes it great. It makes it unique, unlike anything else. But at the end of the day, I'm sitting there and I'm watching it. It's still a television show to me. That's what sports is. Sports is entertainment. The quality of play is just, when you saw even in the early 2000s, where teams who were winning titles and competing had, three to four seniors, a couple of NBA players, when you think about those great Duke teams from the early 2000s, or when guys like Durant and Westbrook, they were going far into the Final Four. There aren't as many iconic name brand players who play an,
you know,
an NBA star level. Well,
you don't know that until they get to the NBA. How can you say that there's not NBA players in the tournament until they get to the NBA and have a chance to prove themselves at that level?
Those guys were household names within 3 months of their freshman year in college basketball.
Russell Westbrook was a household name in 3 months. Oh, there's no way.
Wait a sec, Rob, are you telling me that
you don't know who
Robert Brown of the UAB Blazers is right now? I mean, they're in the Sweet 16 playing the UCLA Bruins. Let's be real. These are household names right away.
The college game is down, and my point is that I think the urgency of the idea of what you're playing for and what's at stake and the fact that we're all – you know, invested in our brackets, and that I think that the scale is sort of tipped a little bit more towards I'm caring about it for myself a little bit more than enjoying the game as much, you know, and that's my opinion on it, but I really took that away from this weekend, and I thought that it was very top heavy, and I thought that there were, you know, a few teams who look a little bit different than the other teams and look like, have NBA athleticism and length, but you know, even teams like the Wisconsin's, and I'll even go, you know, as a whole, even Duke, which I picked Duke to win the tournament. There aren't a lot of teams where when you were in 2003, you had a Final Four where you had Melo, Dwayne Wade, T.J. Ford, Collison, Heinrich, Warwick. There isn't a level of where, you know, all these big teams have, like, those caliber guys right now. So maybe, you know, maybe it's just down right now, but I think the quality of this tournament is not that great.
But you didn't know any of those guys were going to be that good until they made it to the NBA. And, like, look at Kansas last night.
No.
And Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins would have been in the NBA years ago. Everyone knew who Andrew Wiggins was.
That's one guy.
Who are the guys that you knew back in the early 2000s that were going to be NBA All-Stars until they played in college? Those didn't even exist. If you knew someone was going to be an NBA All-Star, they just went to the NBA. They didn't play college basketball.
It's not a matter of being NBA All-Stars. It's
That's what you're
a matter
saying right
of,
now. You're telling me that it's so...
I think we all knew that Carmelo Anthony was going to be an NBA All-Star and Hall of Famer.
But it was,
first of all, I don't think he's an NBA Hall of Famer yet. Let's calm down a little bit.
Oh, we can have that discussion another time, but I can tell you right now, Melo's a Hall of Famer.
It doesn't matter. You didn't know Carmelo...
The game was better because... The teams were deeper. If you look at the Duke teams who, the early 2000s with Battier and Jay Williams, you did know the players like that because they were there for 4 years.
Shane Battier was interviewed today. I think it was ESPN, saying that this Duke team is better than any team that he ever played with.
That's because the greatest Duke player ever, Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah, he said Okafor is the best center that Duke's had that he can remember.
I've heard Rex Ryan say the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl, too. He's obviously – he's a Duke homer. Go win a title first, and then you can compare yourself to having the lineup of,
your whole point, though,
Duham, Battier, Boozer, Dunleavy, all those guys.
Mike Dunleavy was not a big player until he became a good player at Duke. I don't understand your point. The way the college game works now is that it's
been polished
players who would have gone to the NBA to now play in college. The better in college than it's ever been before.
Bobby, when you're in college basketball for 4 years, you become you mature physically. You grow into you're almost playing as if you are now currently a third-year NBA player. You're not. Mike Dunleavy is not playing as a playing as a senior.
So Mike Dunleavy is a big all-star NBA player.
So, Mikey, I got a question for you. The point you're trying to make right now is that these one-and-dones, it's harder to follow them than it is like the four-year players that develop the professional NBA game before they get to the NBA. So you're saying the Tim Duncans of the world will have better careers than the Anthony Davises of the world.
No, not at all. I think if you're ready, you go. I think if you can play, I think you should be able to go after high school. I still think that. I think that that's really on you. That's, you should.
I say, why the hell do you have to graduate high school? Who needs an education to play in the NBA?
You didn't need this.
Yeah.
Look at how you turned out.
Look at this. We're on internet radio right now. Look at me, Ma.
this is already not syndication quality. My point is that it was deeper. Even the guys who were not stars were there longer, so they were older and they were more, you know, they were more mature players. And whether or not you're going to argue who's an NBA body and who isn't an NBA body, a freshman with NBA talent is not going to be the same as if he's a junior or a senior with that same, you know, being that same player.
Yeah.
Tyler Ennis, who came out of Syracuse, had a great year as a point guard. He was not ready. Tyler Ennis will probably never be a star in the NBA ever, but him as a senior at Syracuse would be, you know, the level of play would be a lot higher than he did when he played last year because he would have grown at Syracuse.
To use Matt's point before, how did Carmelo Anthony turn out after leaving after 1 year? Was he ready?
He did all right.
You're taking one or two examples of players, and I don't even see your point, because when I watched the college basketball this weekend, I saw some great talent on Kentucky. I saw NBA talent on Arizona. I saw NBA talent on Duke. I saw NBA talent on Louisville. I saw NBA talent on Kaczynski on Wisconsin. I saw NBA talent on many of the teams. And,
I mean, really know what's NBA talent until they play in the NBA. Leonard was going to be who Kawhi Leonard is.
I know Okafor's NBA talent. I know Tess, the guys at Kentucky, the Barnes twins, the Towns, Cauley Stein. Those are all NBA players.
Yes. We're not arguing about the same thing. I'm arguing about the
Kaminsky
depth.
No,
I'm arguing
Kaminsky
about the depth.
But what is,
the
but what
teams
you
were better.
Well, give me an example of a year where there's so much depth. I see five or six really, really good teams right now with many NBA players.
I just named you off the top of my head.
I thought this tournament was very top heavy. I thought that there was no chance of major upsets, and now seeing a number one seed, 2-3 seeds, and a number two seed already out, I mean, I have to lean towards Bobby's side. I think that this is a much more open NCAA field than we've seen in a while.
I'm not saying it's open. It's just the better teams are really good this year. And that's there's not that many upsets. I mean, to be honest, like, it's more chalk than it has been.
The highest seed right now
is UCLA. They're 11 seed, and they only had to beat a 14 to get to the Sweet 16.
I think we should take
the stars out of it, because there are always stars. There's stars every year. There's one and done stars all the time. There's your Derrick Roses, and then there's your Durant, and all the way up to Anthony Davis, and now to Okafor. I'm talking about your starting five. When has there been a starting five of guys who have played together, like those mid 2000s Florida teams? Or when you just told me to name you like a Final Four with depth, I named you the 2003 Final Four because I remember I'm a Syracuse fan. Unfortunately, that also curbs my interest a little bit here.
Huge Jerry McNamara fan.
But my point was that forget Melo, forget Wade. There were Heinrich, Collison, Wade Simeon. Those are all NBA players, and they were all upperclassmen.
Did we just drop
Simeon? What's the opposite of a name drop, guys?
Pick it back up, please. Listen, there's going to be guys in this Final Four between Duke and Kentucky and a Michigan State and an Arizona that are better than Kirk Heinrich and Nick Collison, who are both good, solid, veteran NBA players. There's not that much depth or talent.
When you're saying
Nick Collison and Kirk Heinrich, I'm not thinking, oh, my God, that was a terrific team.
No,
they were a good college team.
You know who they got? But then they got through teams, other teams in the tournament, Big 12 teams, with guys like T.J. Ford, who was a upperclassman who, before he got hurt, was a very promising player. I remember even from that year, there was another player on Marquette. Who was the shooter on Marquette that wasn't Wade? There was another player. I'm not
Steve Novak.
Steve Novak.
Are you looking for Steve Novak, the sharpshooter? That's who it is.
Yeah, it's Steve Novak. But Steve Novak's a great.
Bob Squad.
No, there's somebody else.
It's funny when this happens, when the three of us are all going around with our own opinions, and it's kind of like we're all just arguing kind of our own points and perspectives on certain things. I was saying that the depth,
I hear you, I'm arguing against your point. I don't think there's like, more depth in the 2003 NCAA tournament than there is this year. Nor do I think there's more talent in that tournament. NCAA basketball, although, you know, there are a couple programs like a Virginia or Wisconsin that really slow play down and play a very meticulous defensive-oriented game, I think the talent that you see in Kentucky, that you see in Arizona with McConnell and with Stanley Johnson and with Gabe York, and these guys are running up and down the court, I think it's better than what I saw in 2003 with
Kentucky. No way.
There are some, we've seen in the last two decades.
There are some. I was naming you other teams. I can name you the Ohio State teams.
You named me Wayne Simeon.
Mikey, you did name Wayne Simeon.
Yeah, that was my whole point. I was naming your role players. I was naming your role players.
Why?
Because they were juniors and seniors who provided better quality of sport than freshmen who were pieced together for a year. Look at these teams. Kansas, as a two seed, they were a two seed because they're Kansas. You watch them play this year, garbage. Villanova, I'm pretty sure their record had something to do with it. Kansas was not Kansas this year. Oklahoma, it might be one of the worst three seeds I've seen in a long time, watching them for about the past month.
You're watching Oklahoma for a month? Big UVA.
UVA couldn't even – they're like a high school team, and they're a one.
They ran into the great wall of Tom Izzo. That's not Virginia's fault. They could have beaten a lot of other teams. Bobby knew Michigan State was taking it.
Wayne Simeon played 1 year in the NBA, averaged 3 points in 2 minutes.
Are you pulling out your Wayne Simeon jersey right now?
You're proving my damn point. You're going to make me say again that I'm naming players who aren't the stars but were good college players.
Mikey, I actually agree with that. I think that the role players right now in college basketball are going to be much more influential for the NBA. Like, you named the Kurt Heinrichs and the Nick Collisons of the world. Those are role players in the NBA that have had much longer careers than, like, the first – picks of like the Michael Olowa candies, and like you look at someone like Adam Morrison. That guy was supposed to be a huge NBA player. Have you seen him recently? I haven't. It's probably been on Cops or something. Who knows? But
he's acting in 70s porn somewhere.
It looks like he was acting in 70s porn when he was in college.
That was the joke. That was the reference. You got it.
But what I'm saying is, I think that we're gonna find out who the real NBA players are come NBA season next year, because you don't
NBA
know.
NBA players stand up.
What?
I just think you're going to find two or three NBA-ready draft picks that are going to be in starting lineups like the Andrew Wiggins is right now. And, I mean, look at Chicago right now with Nikola Mirotic. Tell me that you knew that Nikola Mirotic would end up in the top three Rookie of the Year voting by – before the season started. Tell me you even knew who Nikola Mirotic was.
There's no bearing on my opinion about the college basketball game. Players developing and going into the NBA and playing well. I don't care. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the teams top to bottom clearly not as good as they used to be. And just because there's a couple of teams that you could just Rob, you want to keep naming Wayne Simeon, then you could just keep naming Arizona and Kentucky. Just because there's a few teams that load up because they, you know, they are Kentucky and they, you know, they're the Nick Sabans and those are programs who can do that. It doesn't mean top to bottom that conference.
I agree. That's one of the reasons I don't like the NCAA basketball program, because there will always be four teams that get all the recruits.
That's not true, though. Look what just happened this weekend. Wichita State beat Kansas. Kansas is a top program. Wichita State has good players.
There'll be an upset here or there. It'll happen.
But your whole thing is you're making a blanket statement. NCAA basketball has a mix. You still have your senior teams. You still have your Wichita State of the world that have players that stay for 4 years, a Van Fleet And the
there's upsets in all sports. There's upsets in all sports.
That's not an upset.
That doesn't mean the teams are equal.
That wasn't an upset. If you look at the pick of mine, was a 1.5 game.
I'm just saying that there are surprises in all sports, and you can't just say Wichita State's on the same level of Kansas because they won that game.
We have a caller on the line. We have a caller on the line. Thank goodness. But I will, before I let him speak, I will just say that there's a statistic that this year actually there are a very low amount of upsets compared to historically. So you want to argue depth with those upsets? That's not really valid. But caller, go ahead and thank you for calling.
Do you know how to make it on the sheet?
Hello.
You said hello.
Korea, do you know that you're
hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You're on the radio, sir.
There's some good feedback right here.
Come on.
Who's call?
Introduce yourself, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you? It's Pedro.
Did you hear that?
Welcome to Sports Debaters, Pedro. What do you got to tell us?
What topic are you guys interested in discussing?
Bring one up. Let's go. You're up to bat.
I would like to talk about the Mayweather, how he's getting paid $180 million for one fight. Is that surprising to you guys?
Very,
not at all.
Quite topical with our conversation, but nonetheless, that's the first fight in a maybe 15 years that's between two household names that generates interest, where that's going to break records, and maybe the last fight in boxing for, you know, maybe the next 15 years that really actually matters in American culture. So no, that doesn't surprise me.
I've been watching boxing I'm 37 years old since mm-hmm. I can remember, and I never in a million years thought that someone was going to get paid $188 million for one fight. I mean, I remember growing up watching Tyson, and when he was making $33 million for a fight, I thought that was astronomical, and seeing it at $180 million, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Well, Pedro, you realize that this fight between Pacquiao and Mayweather is looking to be, right now it's expected to be the largest revenue for any combat in sports history. They're looking to surpass over $400 million in revenue for this one fight. Between HBO.
Well, Pedro,
I think it's worth it to give the main attraction less than a quarter of that.
Pedro,
yes,
are you still
yes.
with us?
Yes,
here's the big factor with it is that they understand that they are very, very close to being past the point where this fight is worth having, and they know, well, first of all, this fight will make that money back. But they understand the importance of what this match means for boxing and the interest. You know, boxing has never been less popular, and there's, you know, never been less household names. And they know that for the sake of the sport, you know, having to compete with a growing UFC, they have to do whatever it takes to get it done. You know, the money they'll make. Tyson was getting paid $30 million, and he was spending it all in 3 days. They always get
Mayweather's doing the same thing.
How about being Manny Pacquiao and getting the short end of the stick and still making over $100 million for the fight?
Well, he should get the short end of the stick.
Yeah, but
he should.
If I get a short end of the stick that's over $100 million, I'm feeling pretty good about my
I agree with
life.
You.
I'm fine with my
short. How much you guys think the trainers are getting?
$50, maybe $100. but seriously, I mean, when it comes down to it, in sports, the overpaid players are overpaid for a reason, and that's because they bring in the money. It's the LeBron James theory. He went to Cleveland and he tripled their city's net worth by just playing basketball there. If the guy can bring you the money, it's worth paying him some money. I mean, if this fight's going to bring in $400 million, I'd say give him a quarter of that.
But put that in perspective. Now, Mayweather is making in one night what LeBron makes in 6 years, 7 years. I'm like, that's just, it's stupid. A stupid amount of money.
All right, Pedro, thanks for the call.
Two fights a year, all you need.
Pedro, thanks for the call. We got another caller coming in.
Thank you so much, Pedro. Keep listening, man.
Go ahead,
Colin. That's Colin.
Hello, Austin. I guess, you know, we're having so much fun with Pedro. I think, you know, that the guy maybe felt like he couldn't compete with that much fun that we're having. You thought Pedro was going to hang around for too long. All right, so we don't have a caller. Obviously, we're going to do a Mayweather-Pacquiao discussion, of course, Matt, because, I mean, that's the most important boxing fight match. WrestleMania is coming up, which I embarrassingly have interest in, so I say match or fight.
You can talk about that on your own show.
We're doing the WrestleMania podcast after this, right? I think we are. Let's take a break because it's about that time, and then we'll come back, and we will talk about our baseball predictions. And if you tried to call and couldn't get in, because I know that there was a little bit of a traffic jam of phone calls, call, I guess, you to try back during the break, 646-200-3230. We will be right back. Thanks.
La música de Harry Fry.
This is it, huh? Ocho, A6, huh? Get in the sun, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, yo, all I wanna do is take my bitch to Atlantis. All I wanna do is sell a brick in the Hamptons. We were 17.
All right, we're back. Shout-outs to our producer, Justice Lane, who mid-song, let's put us back on. Before I even hit the enter button, she was right on to this. Guys, now we switch gears to MLB. And
America's pastime.
We're all over the place tonight.
America's pastime along with horse racing and boxing. So we're going to do each of our division winners and wild card. We'll predict the playoffs. They have two wild cards now, right? They haven't
yep.
been in the past like 48 hours. Okay. all right. So we want to do it one by one.
Yeah, I mean,
let's go around the room.
Yep.
All right.
So let's start with the coveted AL East. What do you guys think is coming out of Bobby's Yankees division? And I can tell you it's not the Yankees.
Let me go last in this one. You guys go first. All right. Mike, get started.
I'll get it started, and I'll tell you right now who's going to win this division right now. And you guys might not agree with me, but I think the Toronto Blue Jays are coming out of the AL East.
Oh, I can't wait for that to be on the Sports Debaters archive that you just said that.
Don't worry. All these picks we put on www.sportsdebaters.com for reference. But
I'm telling you right now, guys, the Toronto Blue Jays, while I know neither of you are going to pick them because one of you jabronis is probably going with the obvious Red Sox, and then Bobby's probably going to be stupid and say something about the Yankees. But the Toronto Blue Jays have put together a solid team, and they have what they – need now. They added an unbelievable hitter and fielder in Donaldson, and now they got Russell Martin at catcher. They got the complete lineup. They got some pitching. They have the hitting. I think this is their year. Let's go to the early 90s and get the Joe Carter days back in because Toronto's becoming relevant again.
All right, go ahead, Mike. What do you got?
I need I need to see it to believe it with Toronto. And Toronto historically starts out well. They typically don't have enough I'm not saying at all. They don't have enough pitching depth. And when you're in this day and age, when you are they're very much a streaky power type team, in this day and age of baseball where, you know, runs are down, power numbers are down, everybody's throwing 95 miles an hour. Everybody can pitch. And I don't like the way they are built right now. I think that they will compete. I think that Boston's going to win the division. I'm a Yankee fan. I think Boston's going to win the division. I just think that top to bottom, I think that with a combination of youth, additions, the way that they're built, the way that they – the way they typically, you know, they always seem to rebound and bounce back very quickly. Cole Hamels is such a clutch pitcher. He could come back in, you know, in August and, you know, make a difference. I think this is going to be a tight division. I think the Yankees will be in it.
A tight, terrible division. I think we can all agree this will be one of the bottom three divisions.
Yeah, I think 86 wins go in the division, which is a very low number. But I mean, I could see it wouldn't shock me if all of these teams were around 500. You know, the Rays have taken a big step back. Baltimore has taken a step back, but Baltimore will still be pretty. I think they could still be pretty good. Toronto, Yankees, and Red Sox, I think, are the three best teams. I'm giving the edge to Boston today.
As a Yankee fan, and me and Mike are both Yankee fans, I have to also kind of unfortunately agree that I think that the Red Sox are going to be the best team in the division this year. I don't think they're going to be even that bad. I think they'll probably win 90, 92, 90, 91 games. They picked up, Pablo Sandoval, Candy Ramirez, a couple pitchers, Porcello, Wayne Miley. I didn't know that they got Cole Hamels. I didn't know that was an official acquisition. Is that true? They got Cole Hamels? Mike?
What?
You said the Red Sox got Cole Hamels today?
No, I didn't say that they got him. I said that they there's been discussion for as long as the whole winter that it was a likelihood that he was eventually going to end up in Boston.
Well, if you guys are talking pitching
the way I worded it was a guy like Cole Hamels could come in August and put him over the top. That's what I said.
All right. Well, the one thing the Red Sox don't have right now is a starting pitcher. Like, they don't have a starting ace. They have like a bunch of good pitchers. They got a Buchholz. They got Porcello. They got Wade Miley, but they don't really have that one ace. So
I agree with you.
That gives me a little bit of reservation to pick them. I still think that, you know, the division a couple of years ago, the AL East was the best division in baseball. And, you know, it's not anymore. The Yankees are down. The Rays are further down. And, you know, Baltimore had a good year last year. They got rid of a couple of players. So I do think it's a Red Sox division.
Listen.
Go ahead.
This division has no hitting. Outside of Baltimore, who has a couple of bats, this division has no hitting. And with Marcus Stroman, Drew Hutchinson, Aaron Sanchez, and Daniel Norris, the Toronto Blue Jays have the pitching staff to win this division.
It's not really Daniel Norris. I'm never going to pick a team that's going to, in 2015, slug their way to a division title. That doesn't happen. Who's in it every year? Those teams aren't in it. Not in this decade.
Baltimore won the division last year. They slowed their way to the division.
Baltimore was loaded, and the AL East was a little down.
That's what Toronto's in right now. Toronto's the best.
They were a playoff team the year before Baltimore. They had, they'd show Walter. I'm not saying that I don't think that Toronto's talented. They got to prove it to me before I'm going to pick them over the Yankees or the Red Sox.
Let's go to the AL Central, which I think will be, as long as everyone's on the same page and has kind of half a brain, I kind of feel like this is
easier to You want to do it simultaneously?
I don't agree with you guys. You guys could both say the Detroit Tigers. I'm going against that.
All right, well, I'm going to go with the Detroit Tigers.
They're still the cream of the crop of that division.
They have Miguel Cabrera, obviously. You still got, what's his face, the catcher. slash first baseman, Victor Martinez.
Victor Martinez.
Ridiculous year last year. They picked up David Price last year. They got a bullpen that features Joe Nathan, who struggled a little bit last year, but still a stud.
Nathan's washed up. Chamberlain sucks. Verlander has proven that his career is already over.
They picked up Cespedes last year, and this offseason is a freaking stud and going to kill it in that lineup.
Matt, let's not forget that they did get Samardzija, and they did get David Robertson, and they did get LaRoche, and they still have Anibal Sanchez and David Price and Verlander, and they still have, you know, Cabrera is one of the best players in baseball.
Fister's good too.
Samardzija's on the Cubs.
Did you say Samardzija was on Detroit?
But guys, this is
my pick for the AL Central, the Cleveland Indians. Watch these Cleveland Indians. They were putting it together last year. They have a lot of young pieces, and there were a couple of flukish scenarios last year. Jason Kipnis, who was supposed to be one of the better second basemen in baseball, had a terrible season, and this was a team that Jason Kipnis was supposed to be one of their studs. I would say Carlos Santana had a up and down year, but this team won 85 games last year. They have arguably the best pitcher in the American League in Corey Kluber, according to the Cy Young he won last year. And then you have these young pitchers in Trevor Bauer and Danny Salazar, and this other guy, Carlos Carrasco. They have a dangerous club. Detroit has been dominating this division for the last few years. But don't be surprised if Kipnis turns it around, Swisher could step up, and Mike Avilas could start playing. They got David Murphy, Michael Bourne. They got Ray Rayburn.
Yeah.
Like, they have a squad.
Right. Okay, I, for whatever reason, you went to the White Sox. I don't know why I mixed that up. I was wrong on that one. But besides Minnesota, like, that entire division is really good. Cleveland has an unbelievable top-to-bottom rotation. You know, the White Sox made a ton of it. You know, that I'm picking Detroit, but it wouldn't surprise me if Cleveland won the division, not at all.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with you that the White Sox are also going to be a very good team this year. They had such a good offseason.
They brought in
Samardzija. They got David Robertson from your Yankees. They got that young pitcher Zach Duke, who's going to be real good for his career. And then you picked up a Melky Cabrera who loves the roids.
That's right. They did get Melky Cabrera. Yeah, I look at those teams and I think that Minnesota is the only team in that division that isn't capable of winning the division.
All right, let's go to the division that no one in the world cares about, AL West. Sorry, AL West fans out there. But their best team, their state doesn't even care about.
Go ahead, Bobby.
AL West?
AL West. Who you got, Bobby?
I'm going to pick a team that almost finished with 90 games last year, finished third in the division, but kind of really made a strong run to the wild card at the end of the year, and that will be the Seattle Mariners. Everyone knows that in the past couple of years they've been building their team up. Obviously, they stole Cano from the Yankees a couple of years ago. Their third baseman, Kyle Seager, is coming into his own, and their pitcher, Seth, featuring Felix Hernandez and can't think of the Japanese pitcher.
Iwakuma, he's real good. And then they got that James Paxton cat that helped us make the playoffs in fantasy baseball last year.
Yeah, so I think they're a young team. I think they're a dangerous team. And getting Nelson Cruz, you know, who knows what Nelson Cruz is going to be. If he's juicing, if he's not juicing last year, he probably, you know, he had to keep a pretty clean profile last year.
He hit 40 home runs last year, guys. The guy's not washed up yet. He's plenty good.
Exactly. So,
and if Logan Morrison could stay healthy, Bobby, I'm with you. I'm picking the Seattle Mariners, too. I think that a lot of people are leaning towards the Angels, but I think the Seattle Mariners, they have a young team, especially this middle infield. Brad Miller, if this guy gets a full season under his belt, he has some pop to his bat. He plays well. And this is a ground ball pitching team. Felix Hernandez, Iwakuma, and James Paxton. All ground ball pitchers.
I love that baseball purist analysis. You're like the guy sitting there keeping score with the radio while you're at the game. This is a ground ball staff. I love that.
I'm such a baseball loser.
I think I'm falling into the trap, which goes against everything I believe in, and I'll probably regret it. I am going to pick the Angels, and I look at their lineup top to bottom and their star power compared to the rest of the division. And, you know, if guys like Weaver can stay at form, Pujols and Trout, like, I just think that top to bottom they're the most talented. And I usually don't pick like that, so I'm probably going to regret it. But if you're asking
healthy
me...
Healthy pitching.
If you're asking me right now who I think's the best team, you know, I don't watch those, like I watch AL East games where I can give a little bit more of a perspective on Toronto and not picking them even though they have the most bats. You know, just on pure talent alone on paper, I'm picking the Angels.
The only way I can go with you on the Angels here is if two names step up this year and become legitimate everyday starters.
Garrett Anderson and Garrett Erstead.
Nah, CJ Cron, who started to show like signs of a really up-and-coming young player last year. And then my big pick of my MLB draft or fantasy baseball this year, Cole Calhoun. Those two names.
Already interesting.
If those two names step up this year, I think they might edge out Seattle. But right now I'm with Bobby here, and I'm going to pick Seattle to win the AL West.
All right, we covered most of the teams in the AL. Let's go real quick. Your two wildcard teams are going to be who?
Well, I'm going to take either the Seattle or Los Angeles, who doesn't come out of the AL West. I think those two teams are real nice. And I think the other one has to come out of the Central with either between Detroit Tigers or Cleveland Indians.
All right, so you already picked the Indians and the Mariners for the divisions, so you're going to say
right.
The Angels and
so
the
I'm
Tigers.
Saying yeah, exactly. I'm taking the Angels and Tigers, and I'll take the Angels beating the Tigers in the one-game playoff to be the legitimate wild card.
All right. What do you take, Mike? Top two wild cards.
I'm taking Cleveland as one. And the two other teams that I'm flip-flopping in my head are Seattle and the Yankees. And the Yankees... I believe they have, you know, the makings of a team who can win a lot of games. There's just so many question marks, all dependent on all the same, you know, from top to bottom, pitching staff, you know, defensively. Can the veterans play like they have played, or are they going to get hurt? Are guys going to, you know, wear down as the season goes on? You know that Joe Girardi and managing that pitching staff, you know they will hold it together because that's what they do. They did it last year. They're always competitive. I think if they're able to stay healthy and guys like Beltran could just, you know, just keep it, he's going to have to play a little too much outfield for, you know, I think that then people would like. If he could stay healthy, he's going to hit. He wasn't healthy last year. McCann, I think, will play better. You know, A-Rod, I don't know what you're going to get from him. But I think defensively, they're very good up the middle. They still have Ellsbury, Gardner.
The best thing the Yankees are going to do this year is the video they just made. I don't know if you saw it, the Sandlot parody, where some of the players reenacted a scene from the Sandlot. That's the best thing they're going to do for the entire year. To quote my boy Rip Torn, the Yankees will make the playoffs this year when my shit turns purple and tastes like rainbow sherbet.
Retiring Bernie Williams' number is the best thing they're going to do this year, but that's besides the point. No, I think that if they're able to hold their health together, they're a better team than most of the other teams that would be fighting for that spot. I mean, the Yankees' pitching staff is good. Pineda's never healthy ever. When he's healthy, he pitches like an all-star. And when Tanaka's arm could explode at any moment, which is a huge. But if he's in there, you know he's going to be an ace. So that's really the question mark. But I'm not going to not pick them because of health. Because you can't assume, because then people get hurt. It's unpredictable from any team. So I'm not going to not pick them because of health. So I will pick them over Seattle as the other wild card.
All right, I'm going with, just to sum it up, I'm going with the Yankees as well, for lots of the same reasons you just said. So the Yankees actually made it
mainly biased.
I'm a Yankee fan, but that's kind of worked out for the majority of my life. I'm not going to lie. I'm usually in the playoffs, so maybe I am a little biased. But the Yankees have, if they stay healthy, and like Mike said, you can't assume injury. You can really kind of almost expect one of the guys will probably get hurt this year. But between Girardi's ability to like
keep the Yankees afloat. You always keep the Yankees afloat. We've been ravaged by injuries the past couple of years. The Yankees still finish over 500 every single year, even when they don't make the playoffs. They've been an 85, 86 win team. They made a couple pickups. They got Garrett Jones to play a backup role as your backup first baseman.
Did you just name Garrett Jones, the guy who couldn't even make it hitting? He got replaced by Ike Davis, the guy who couldn't make it on the Mets. Garrett Jones, really? That's your quality offseason acquisition?
Garrett Jones is a 25 home run guy if he plays on a regular basis at Yankee Stadium with a power bat to left field.
And a 200 strikeout guy if he plays on a regular
basis. Did I say he's our starting first baseman? I said he's a solid backup first baseman, which he is.
You said he was a solid offseason acquisition.
He is a solid offseason acquisition. I don't care if you disagree with it. You had your turn, so shut the hell up.
I just think that it's hard to not pick a team because you assume injuries. I think that's
Oh, no, Mikey, I'm assuming they'll all stay healthy. And they are just that bad on paper.
Matt, don't argue. Matt has Yankee envy. He said Yankee envy is tired of life.
Well, I want to hear what he sees top to bottom from a Cleveland, a Seattle, you know, on paper. That's the one thing the Yankees have going for them is on paper.
Exactly.
They're built very well to win now. But
on paper, in 2011, they have a great team.
That's not true, man. You don't know what you're talking about. They have a young outfield, relatively young. You're going to say Phil Trend over the hill. They have an Ellsbury and a Gardner who are both in the prime of their career. Both are
Gardner
players.
Is an average player at best, and Ellsbury has been proven to be injured, and he didn't have that great a year for the contract.
Brett Gardner is a good player.
He's a good player.
Gardner,
what are you talking about?
Brett Gardner.
Did you just say great player for Brett Gardner?
We both say Brett Gardner is a good player. He's a solid major league outfielder.
You have to also take into consideration, this is not 1999 where everybody's hitting over 300. Like, 270 now is what 300 was. It just is. Brett Gardner, you look at the back of his card, you're not going to say – he's not going to wow you with anything. You watch him every day. He's a perfect guy. Put in the outfield when you have, you know, a corner outfielder that you're trying to get power out of. You got first baseman and a catcher who hit for power. Ellsbury and Gardner are exactly the guys that you want for those spots.
You have a starting rotation with CeCe Sabathia, Tanaka, and Michael Pineda.
I don't have anything. The Yankees have it.
And CeCe Sabathia has proven that losing weight was the worst mistake of his life.
And he put the weight back on, so if that's the case, then he'll have a good year.
Tanaka is coming off major surgery. I think he'll be good. I think that's your one bright spot this year.
Tanaka did not have surgery last year. He opted not to have surgery.
Right, right. He didn't have surgery. He had the rehab. And Michael Pineda, who did have surgery twice, I think, will not be a healthy pitcher for the rest of his career. You realize
the Yankees were above 500 without Pineda and Tanaka for the entire second half and with McCann having his worst season of his career, Teixeira out,
Your team had Hart last year, and that Hart was named Derek Jeter. Do you know what you replaced Derek Jeter with?
Yeah.
Didi Gregorius, the guy who battled around the Mendoza line playing for Arizona.
I forgot. Right. Derek Jeter
batted 250 last year.
He's the heart of the team. He brought people into your stands. Do you think Yankee Stadium is going to have the same electricity that it had when Derek Jeter was there? No.
Yeah,
half 99% of Yankee fans are fake baseball fans to start off. And, yeah, call me out on that if you'd like to.
Call in Yankee fans.
Call in Yankee fans if you want to argue that. But I promise you, you will all turn on your team real quick once you start losing because you guys do not have a good team this year.
That's a same mentality. You turn a team on Memorial Day every single year. That's your mentality. That's not a normal baseball fan mentality.
I've been a Mets fan my whole life. That's the most depressing thing I can admit to.
All right, let's go to the next division. This is not going to go anywhere. Matt hates the Yankees. He's not rational when it comes to talking about the Yankees.
I'll kill him on the Mets then if he's going to really go there. If he's going to take it personal.
Just so everybody knows out there on the airwaves, as we go through baseball season, when Matt starts Yankees, just disregard whatever he says.
or once you all start realizing that I'm correct in all my analysis of the Yankees, you can all praise me for my accurate predictions.
Matt, are you that guy who's like who's gonna be the like the consummate homer of the group moving forward? I want to know.
I'll tell you this though, I speak the truth.
Speaking of the truth,
let's talk about who's gonna win this NL East. On three, I think we can all say the same team.
One, two, three.
Washington Nationals. God, that team is gonna be good this year.
Washington Nationals, what's the best record in baseball?
Oh yeah, best record in baseball. They're gonna have, I think Max Scherzer is gonna win the Cy Young in the National League. That's what a signing. How the hell are you gonna have Steven Strasburg be your second best pitcher? That's amazing.
I mean, they said that Zimmerman also. Sisters are fourth. It's pretty solid.
Yeah. I mean, crazy.
All right. So let's go to the NFL.
I'm not even just. I know we all agree on the Nationals, but their starting rotation is pretty jaw dropping. It really is. But, okay, let's move to the Central.
I mean, I think we should start with Bobby. We were talking about this a little before we got on air, and I like where Bobby was going with it. What do you got for the NL Central, Bobby?
I don't remember what I said. What I say when we were out there? I hope it doesn't change.
you told us how the Milwaukee Brewers.
I think that if I have to pick a team in the Central, we were talking about the Pirates. We were talking about the
Cardinals-Pirates matchup.
The Cubs. I'm going to go with the St. Louis Cardinals. It's just one of those teams that every single year you look up at the standings, they're the first-place team until they lose, until they don't win Division One year. And, you know, and they have a, you know, they got a new coach. They lose Tony La Russa, they get Mike Mussini as the coach. Nothing changes. They lose Albert Pujols. They pick up a bunch of other dudes that no one's ever heard of until they become stars on the Cardinals. It's just, it's an organizational type of thing. So, I'm going to say that the Cardinals, you know, led by their pitching, by Adam Wainwright, they have John Lackey and Michael Wacha, who kind of let us down last year in fantasy, but he was injured. I think the Cardinals probably take that division as usual.
I don't think it's a terrible prediction, but I'm going to go with a curveball here right now. And the team you were joking about, but I think Chicago Cubs, young team, going to blow it out this year. I think they have so much young talent that this team's going to come together real quick.
Listen, I agree the Cubs have a lot of young talent. I just think it's going to take a little bit of time to mold. And I think if you look at the experience the Cardinals have, if it's coming down to a pennant race, I think it might between those two teams. I think the Cardinals outlast them just because they've been there before.
That's a fair point, but with the addition of John Lester, and then you bring it back at Jason Hamill, like you've got a squad, and you got Joe Maddon to manage them.
I think that the Cubs are a team that we often fall in love with a lot of the time because this
said
is
no
like
one ever.
Well, I don't have to deal with any NL rivalries, you know, on your end. But I think most people root for the, well, of course people root for the Cubs, and they always, you know, they always are making a run, and they're always, you know, their fan base and that organization, I mean, that is baseball, and they constantly are bringing in players to try to win. I don't think they have enough. They don't have enough to overtake St. Louis. I think it'll be a good competitive division. I like Pittsburgh also. I think St. Louis is going to win. I totally get it, and I'm rooting for Chicago, but I don't think they're going to overtake St. Louis in that division.
Just watch out for Chris Bryant this year. This guy's going to blow up Major League Baseball. This guy hits for power, he feels.
Well, you said you speak the truth, so I will look out.
Listen, the one thing that's a little bit different about these Cubs and the Cubs that you kind of referenced in the past 10 years when they've been a little bit of a lovable loser, I feel like this time they're actually trying to build up through the farm system. You know, they had Theo Epstein to win over just the organization, and now they're bringing up kind of like Starlin Castro 1 year, Anthony Rizzo 1 year. This year they're going to bring up Jorge Soler and Chris Bryant, the guy Matt just
mentioned. Javier Baez.
Yeah, so what am I,
they're not building through free agency. You know, they're not
I said that I do think that they're going to be very competitive. I said I don't think they have enough yet to overtake them. I like them.
They also brought in a guy you guys might remember named Miguel Montero, who I'm pretty sure was traded for Pineda back when he was a Seattle Mariner. I think it was Miguel Montero.
No, that was Jesus Montero. That was our casting prospect. You got
so many Monteros.
you can't keep track of these Monteros.
Too many damn Monteros in baseball.
That's the rough Montero.
And now what?
You got to go first.
All right, my NL West pick is easy. The Los Angeles Dodgers. They're going to finish with the second best record in baseball. And there's two reasons why. Clayton Kershaw. This guy is ridiculous. Also, mark my words right now, the man who only speaks the truth, Jock Peterson. He will be Rookie of the Year this year.
The amount of obscure baseball player names that you've dropped in the past 50 minutes is making me completely lose concentration of what we're even talking about. you picked LA?
Yeah, the Dodgers.
I think you're going to run away with the division. great sports debating, right? Yeah, yeah, Dodgers. They're just that. They're just better than everybody else in that division by a lot.
I don't know. I just saw a team win the World Series last year. That's in that division. I'm going to go with the San Francisco Giants. And, you know, I see you're Clayton Kershaw. I'll give you a Madison Bumgarner who showed
that. Oh, my God. One good playoff run. This guy, everyone is on this guy's nuts now because he had one good playoff run. Let's be honest. Bumgarner wasn't even talked about in the top 15 pitchers in baseball before the playoffs came around last year.
Guy had an 18-10 record, 2.98 ERA, right? Struck out 220 guys. He's a solid, big-time pitcher.
He's good. Don't put him in the same category as Clayton Kershaw.
Don't put the Dodgers in the same category as the Giants who won three World Series the past 5 years.
I'm not, but this season I am.
Bobby, it's 162 game season, team game. Felix Hernandez is unhittable. That doesn't really translate playoff appearances on a series basis.
You can't compare the Dodgers. You're not comparing the Mariners to the Giants, the team that I just said. They won three championships in the past 5-6 years.
I am comparing the impact that you're putting on one starting pitcher, though.
Do you know why the Dodgers didn't win the World Series last year? It's because they didn't have veteran leadership. They had a whole bunch of knuckleheads playing for their team. They got rid of Matt Kemp. They let him go to San Diego, which has got to be the saddest move in any player's career. And they brought they got rid of Hanley, and they brought in veterans like Jimmy Rollins and Howie Kendrick.
Okay,
that's going to help them win the playoffs.
Their talent got worse. They got rid of Deep Gordon and Hanley Ramirez, and they brought in old veterans like Jimmy Rollins and Howie Kendrick. Maybe they go bring in veterans who might have more leadership qualities, but the talent got worse.
I'm talking about the one thing they were lacking last year was that leadership quality come playoff time to help them win in the playoffs, which Jimmy Rollins has a World Series, doesn't he?
One thing they were not lacking was talent, and they got rid of a lot of talent to bring in the veteran leadership.
What did Matt Kemp do last year?
Matt Kemp's a talented player. Kenny Ramirez was a talented player.
3 years ago.
Matt Kemp hasn't been the same since he broke up with Rihanna. Understandable, but it's true.
And, Mike, that's one reason. He said, I'm picking the Dodgers for one reason and one reason only. Clayton Kershaw.
Yes.
But you didn't address that when I said, okay, Madison Bumgarner is the reason the Dodgers are with.
Because I named the best player in baseball. You named Madison Bumgarner.
Madison Bumgarner outpitched Clayton Kershaw in the biggest games possible last year. Yes, so I'm going with.
Okay. I'll give you that. He pitched pretty terrible in the playoffs, Clayton Kershaw.
Madison Bumgarner pitched better than anyone's ever pitched in that series in the spot.
It was one of the greatest playoff performances since Curt Schiller. I don't know if you guys remember that Curt Schilling year, do you?
All right, let's go real quick.
If you're gonna go there, do you remember if it wasn't for the ninth inning Luis Gonzalez nonsense that he let up the what would have been the game losing home run in the World Series in Game 7 out of the bullpen to Soriano, so wasn't so clutch there. So take your little shot to the Yankees, I'll fire back at you.
You're talking about Luis Gonzalez. Who did he get that hit off of?
I don't know. Some closer who I think
greatest closer
under,
in baseball history.
Maybe an under one ERA in World Series play. I don't know.
Yeah, but he kind of gave up a pretty big hit there.
Goddamn Tony Womack. Anyway.
All right, let's go with our NL wildcard teams. I'm about to get shit on right now, but I'll tell you guys, like, my two wild cards. Since I'm choosing Chicago to win the Central, I'm choosing St. Louis to win the wild card. And in the wild card game, they will beat my New York Mets, who will be a wild card team this year. Come at me.
I mean, I'm not really going to come at you. I don't even really disagree with you. Obviously, I have the Cardinals winning the division, so I can't put them in the wild card. I will give the Dodgers a wild card team. I think their talent is enough to get them to get a second best record. In terms of the other wild card team in that division, I really do like the Pirates a lot. I feel like the Pirates have been knocking on the door for the past couple of years. They have one of the best players in the game, McCutcheon. They have a solid all-around team with a lot of depth. You got Josh Harrison, Pedro Alvarez, solid pitching staff. Do I think the Mets have no chance of making the playoffs? I think the Mets will be there. I think the Mets are going to have a much better year than they've had in years past. I would like to see the Mets do well because it's more interesting in New York when there's two competitive teams. But all you really told me is that you have, you know, you're confident the Mets are going to play one more game than they would have otherwise because you said they're going to lose to the Cardinals. So I'll give you that. It doesn't matter to me.
As a Mets fan, making a wild card game would be huge for us.
Yeah, it would have been a lot nicer if they actually could play a series. So, like,
If a wild card game comes around, and I'm predicting them to lose it, but they will be starting a guy named Matt Harvey, who, if he is anything like his rookie season, is going to be a tough beat for any team, no matter how good their offense is.
Yeah, I think that the Pirates are going to end up for the third year in a row losing in wild card games to the LA Dodgers.
It's not a terrible – I don't think Pittsburgh is going to be able to outlast Chicago or St. Louis this year, unfortunately, for them.
Go ahead, Mike.
All right. NL wild card.
Got a muster enough energy to make it seem like you care.
All right. Well, you know, it's National League for me, you know, and it's going to be during football season. I'll go with the Cardinals and the Giants, you know, because I think Eli will have a bounce back year, and Bruce, you know, Arians is a good coach. So, no, I was thinking about it the entire time that you guys forget. I'll take the San Francisco Giants. No, I was debating having a sports debate in my own head was not good. San Francisco, I'll take because just organizationally. That's why, period. And I'll also take the Pirates because they've just, you know, Pirates.
They've been there the last couple of years. It's a good guess. They've been there the last couple of years, but just watch it happen, guys. I mean, we don't need Zach Wheeler. We got enough on in our farm system. These Mets are going to be great this year. Watch it happen.
You said I'm picking the Pirates because, you know, they're the Pirates.
It's the Pirates. Why not? They wear eye patches.
And nobody's the Pirates better than they are. They play the Pirates for the best.
Because Willie Stargell's going to have a bounce back year, that's why.
Yeah. It's going to be a huge year.
All right. And we're out of time.
Well,
thank you for tuning in. You guys were fantastic this evening. You guys were great last night. We will be on again 8:00 on next Tuesday, whatever date that might be, but a week from today at 8:00. And they will all be posted on sports-baiters.com. Have a good night, America.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the NCAA basketball, real basketball this weekend.